ask for the dimensions of that. And you would be amazed. It's the very thing some of you have said, be careful about. Be careful about. And I did not say anything about it, but I knew exactly what she would say, because that always produces that kind of church, and that's the only thing it does. Now, my question is, do we really want that kind of church? By the way, both of my nieces were saved in that church. And when I went up there to visit them, 2 summers ago, I guess it was, then they said, you've got to go see our church. And before we left, we got down at the altar and prayed. And they just complimented their church. Their pastor just could not believe how they talked about it so positively. And they know next to nothing about the gospel, except they've been touched unto life and they've begun to read the Bible, find out the mind of God. And they're beautiful young ladies, Christian young ladies. And no question about it. When you're with them, you know in a matter of minutes that they're Christians. Now that's what Jesus is talking about here. That is the supreme concept at the heart of the true kingdom of God. You have been called unto the fellowship of God through His Son. And we invite all others to have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And when we are united to Him, we are necessarily in a commonness of life. You take a bag of meal and open it up and put your hand down in it and draw your hand up, and if there's not any moisture in it, what kind of texture will you find in that meal? Will you find a great big lump and then one little bitty lump? No. They are all the same. There is a commonness of life among them. This is a picture of the equality of God's call to every man and the equality of opportunity in every man to respond to God. And when he does respond, we are all equal before God. Now, here's what Jesus says. Get ready. In this age, you'd better be awfully careful, because that is going to be under constant attack by your enemy. And that's what he pictures in this parable right here. You'll never be able to get to a place where it is not under attack. So you may as well be ready for it and give your life to protect those two most important things. So let's turn the coin over quickly, and we're almost out of time already. Let's see the subtle corruption of the kingdom of God. Now let me just dismiss the aspects very rapidly. That subtle corruption takes place through some false persons, or some persons who act falsely inside the kingdom. Now, they may be genuine people, but they at least on occasion act falsely. And that jeopardizes the communion with God and the common fellowship with other Christians. Now, here's what Jesus said. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, now listen, which a woman took and hid in those 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Now, who is that woman? Well, she obviously belongs in the story. He's just describing a Jewish household. Here is the wife and mother in the family. She's in her right place. She's in the home and she's in the kitchen. She's doing the right thing. She's preparing the meal. And then suddenly, without any forewarning, Jesus introduces a strange and alien element into the story. He says she's just mixing the meal, and suddenly she reaches out and gets some sourdough. Some leaven, some yeast, as we would call it. And she picks it up and pushes it into that meal and begins to knead it in with the rest of the meal. Now, you see, that doesn't mean much to us because we eat leavened bread all the time. But do you know that that runs exactly opposite to the clear statement of the Word of God with regard to 3 measures of meal? In Leviticus chapter 2, God said, do not mix leaven in the meal. Never, ever, ever, ever mix leaven in the meal. Now, I'm going to tell you why in just a minute. So all of a sudden, this woman does the alien thing. Now, what would every Jew there think? Why, what a sneaky thing to do. What a dirty trick. Doesn't she know the law of God? Because, you see, of all the things a Jew would cut his eye teeth on spiritually, it was those 5 Levitical sacrifices in Leviticus chapters 1, early chapters of Leviticus. And the second one is the meal offering. And they were exclusively prohibited from mixing leaven into it. And yet here's a woman who comes and takes the leaven and hides it. She does a dishonest, deceitful thing in that leaven of meal, in that measure of meal. Now, what does that mean? Well, in the Bible, when a woman is used in a bad ethical sense, she always stands for one thing. She stands for the mismanagement of God's affairs, and especially in the area of just religion. She stands for the mismanagement in that she puts something religiously out of place. She always stands for the same thing when she is seen in a bad ethical sense. So here's what this means. This is a picture of the church in the management of its own affairs and allowing or causing subtle evil influences to come in to violate that relationship with God and that relationship with your fellow Christians. Now, is this church an example of that? Yes. Every church is an example of that. And to the degree to which they disallow that and faithfully preach the Word of God and break their hearts before Him to commonly fellowship together, to that degree that church will be a power in the earth. And not until then. Not until then. Now, let's look at the leaven. He says this subtle corruption of the kingdom is going to take place through some false principles being sown inside that professing kingdom. What does leaven stand for in the Bible? Now, here's the stupefying thing. Those who interpret this parable wrongly say that it stands for the gospel. Now, listen to me carefully. Never in the Bible does leaven ever stand for anything good. Never. It never stands for anything but evil. Never, ever. I do not mean one time out of many it violates that. I mean it is never anything good. It is always bad. That's the reason God said, do it in an unleavened way. In an unleavened way. When you bake your bread, bake it unleavened in certain places and areas. And before the Passover and in the Passover season, the Jews were to go through their houses and literally scour their houses to get any little modicum of leaven up and throw it out because it stood for the admixture of evil. And they're about to picture the death of Jesus for the sins of the world. And it had no admixture of evil except man's sins were put upon Him. The sacrifice Himself in itself was perfect. And it is to be done with unleavened bread. And all the sacrifices were to be made in an unleavened way. And this is what the Bible constantly teaches. Now, Jesus Himself used leaven as a symbol. Listen carefully. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And He said that numbers of times. What does that mean? Leaven is always a picture of evil. What's the leaven of the Pharisees? It's hypocrisy. Looking to the outward side, putting on the good front, but inside, He said, full of dead men's bones, taking care of the legalities of going to church and paying your dues and supporting everything. But inside, there is no brokenness of spirit before God, and it's very easy to condemn and judge everybody else when you never bring yourself under the one judgment God is seeking for, and that is that you bow down with a broken heart before Him. That's the leaven of the Pharisees. Jesus said, beware of it. I want to tell you, this church is loaded with it. And so all of us at one time or another have this inside our hearts. It is such a subtle thing. It's like sourdough invested and it just spreads and permeates. And if you don't do something about it, it will destroy the fellowship. He said, beware of the leaven of the Sadducees. Now what does that mean? What is the leaven of the Sadducees? That's rationalism. That means that I can think my way through life better than the Bible can tell me how to live. That I do not need the Bible. And a person says that every time he lives a day without reading the Bible. I don't have to have the Bible. I can decide for myself what's right. Anybody knows what's right and what's wrong. Let me decide. That's rationalism. That's the leaven of the Sadducees. You are always wrong when you think like that because you started wrong. And you can't recover from that without going back to the Word of God. Then He said, beware of the leaven of the Herodians. What is the leaven of the Herodians? It's materialism. I've got to have a color television set. Why, look at my neighbors. I've got to have a new car. Look at my neighbors. I need a nice home to live in. I've got to have a swimming pool. I've got to have these lively luxuries of life. Look at my neighbors. Now, is that in the church? Certainly it is. So the church makes an appeal for sacrificial life-giving, and we say, I can't, I spent it on that. And we make an appeal for foreign missions, and the church says, I can't, I spent it on that. I spent it in self-indulgence upon myself. That is the leaven of the Herodians. And Jesus said, all of those things will totally destroy fellowship with God and fellowship openly in oneness with fellow Christians all through this age. He said, beware of that. Now, let me show you.